much for being on the podcast. Longtime fellow writer and friend, you write with the name A. Malakoff, and your website is amalakoff.com, and I know you as Tola, and I wanted to have you on because this poem by Yevgeny Yevtushenko, Memento, for many, many years, I don't recall how long, it's just been one of my favorite all-time poems. I don't keep track, but there's just a bunch that I really might call my favorite poems. So I thought, hey, I'm just going to do a show and talk about it a little bit. And then I thought, hey, let's have you read it in Russian. So I appreciate you doing that. And also, I want to plug your website and your writing, because you do a lot of innovative. I always forget how to pronounce that word. You do a lot of interesting work. So I hope people will check out your work as well. So welcome, Tola. And if you want to say anything about the poem before you read it, because obviously as like someone who doesn't know Russian, even though I have some Russian heritage, the language, it's getting a feel for the, getting a feel that doesn't come through in English.
Definitely. Thanks again, Mike, for having me read this. And the main difference is the poem is rhymed in Russian. You will hear it when I read. And it's not rhymed in the translation that we've read. So that's the main difference. And you could debate about that. Some folks like rhymed poetry and some don't. But here's the poem in Russian. Напоминание. Как напоминание о жизни. Из трамваев, солнца, воробьев. И о дрожжевом неудержимстве градусничных скачущих ручьев. И о том, что утки где-то крячут над хрусцой последнего литка, и о том, что дети горько плачут, потому что жизнь детей сладка, и о том, как в пьяной звездной зыби продыбачит месяц золотой, а чулок хрустит чуть-чуть на сгибе от себя и солнца золотой, как напоминание о жизни и о том, что на стволах смола, и о том, что сильно я ошибся, думая, что жизнь моя прошла. Как напоминание о жизни, ты в меня без туфелек вошла. Ты вошла не поздней и не ранней, вовремя, как самая моя, и улыбкой из воспоминаний, как из гроба, вырвала меня. И меняю, снова закружившись посреди раскрашенных коней, на напоминание о жизни, все воспоминания о ней.
Wow, that's beautiful. Yeah, like just getting the feel of it is amazing to hear the language, and the feeling you put behind it is very nice.
And, oh, thank you.
Very evocative. I was trying to read, like follow the English as, but I kind of just went along with the listening instead. But it's just such a moving poem. So you conveyed whatever it is that's in the language.
Well, thank you for having me read it. It was a real pleasure. I like this poem a lot.
Yeah. Do you, is there anything, like, in the, you think it's a good translation in the English, or does, like, I mean, as good as it can be, or, because, like I said, when I read it, the message of what I like about the poem a lot is just the message of it. I have had experiences like that and can relate to it, and then the technique of the descriptions and the images, and so it's like it's a perfect blend to me of that technique and what it says. So I don't know if the English words, like, do you feel it conveys, at least some of the gist of the Russian?
I like the English translation better personally because of the no rhyming. Rhyming is not my thing. Mm-hmm. And so even in Russian, I'm not totally happy to speak anymore. Even though in Russian, it's still predominant in poetry.
Oh, that was my next. That was what I was going to ask you, if there's still like a lot of rhyme in Russian poetry still.
Yeah, as far as I know, still most poets will do rhyme.
Oh, okay. Wow.
But in this poem, I think the translation sounds more like a sort of eternal poem, like it's not just in the moment. And the Russian original sounds a little bit frivolous in the language choices, which is interesting, but it sounds more lighthearted and a little bit of a language way. So, yeah, there are some feeling differences, but I like my English one quite a bit.
Is it the Russians more frivolous, or the English, or different translation?
I would say the Russian is a little more playful in language choices in a kind of youthful way that you could like or not like. It's interesting. Again, it's pushing against the kind of stuffy Soviet poetry, so it's a different vibe. It's kind of youthful vibe for a poet who wrote mostly under the Soviet regime until his later years.
Yeah, that's obviously that's always, you know, with any artwork, when you read something from the past, it helps to have the context. You know, even though some poems are kind of, quote, timeless, but obviously a lot of poems have to do with what's going on, what the conditions were, political, social, whatever. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, thanks so much, Tola. I appreciate it. And I'm thinking of questions as we're talking. Is there any, has his work influenced your writing at all? I know you do poetry, you do stories, you do fiction, you do all kinds of stuff.
I would say so. As much as there is a thing such as influence, I definitely read his work when I was as young as 14 and 15, and as the better poets in the Soviet Union were very difficult to find. You couldn't find books, and my mom made a deal with a local librarian that would allow me to access to some hidden books that were normally reserved for like party officials and stuff. So I was able to read a four-volume collection of his work back around 1988 or so, and 86. So that was my introduction to his work. It's really strong, and there are many powerful lyrical poems that he's written.
Good. That makes me want to read some more, because like I had mentioned to you before, I read it was a small book, because back in the 90s, I think it was his biography or an autobiography, I'm not sure, but that's when I became fascinated with him or found out about him, and the what I remember the most of that was reading when he went to factories during lunch hour, which I guess they were big factories, like hundreds of people working, and he read his poetry there, and That stayed with me, because it's like, wow, that's such a difference from the poetry scene in America today.
Yes, one of his famous poems is Baby Yar. It's about the Holocaust.
Oh yeah, I've heard that. Yeah,
well, that's a long poem. That's very poignant and strong. and then he was a professor in Montana, I think, for his last 15 years or so, when he moved to the States.
Yeah. Huh. Neat. Wow, that's amazing. All right, well, thanks so much for reading it and, you know, conveying the flavor, and appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me, man. That's really light.
All right, take care, and keep on with your writings. Do you write in Russian at all, or do you just write in English nowadays?
I write in English nowadays for the last almost 20 years, so I'm in Russian.
All right, thanks so much, Tola.
Thank you, man.
That's
really fun, man.
We'll talk to you soon. All right. And now I'm going to read the translation. This is from 1974. I'm not sure when the poem was written. Maybe that's it. Translated by Arthur Boyars and Simon Franklin. Memento. Like a reminder of this life, of trams, sun, sparrows, and the flighty uncontrolledness of streams leaping like thermometers, and because ducks are quacking somewhere above the crackling of the last paper-thin ice, and because children are crying bitterly, remember, children's lives are so sweet, and because in the drunken shimmering starlight the new moon whoops it up, and a stocking crackles a bit at the knee, gold in itself and tinged by the sun, like a reminder of life. And because there is resin on tree trunks, and because I was madly mistaken in thinking that my life was over, like a reminder of life, you entered into me, on stockinged feet. You entered neither too late nor too early, at exactly the right time, as my very own, and with a smile uprooted me from memories as from a grave, and I, once again whirling among the painted horses, gladly exchange for one reminder of life all its memories. So that's the poem, and some of the technical things, I still remember a book in, I think, elementary school or high school called Sound and Sense. And that's right there is a good guideline for any poet, that the sound of the poem and that there's this, and what it says makes sense. I love the imagery, the streams leaping like thermometers, and this sort of childlike, Ima Lotkov mentioned some of the playfulness, so that's sort of playful there, because ducks are quacking somewhere, and the moon whoops it up, but the turning point, the thing that I love about the poem is that it's just, I don't know whether it's redemption or it's, I think of times in my life where I've met someone and I was going through stuff and I met someone and it turned, you know, either I met someone or a certain experience that turned my life around in a different direction. And so that, those lines, but thinking my life was over, like a reminder of life, it's restarted. It was re-energized. So I think that's perhaps anybody can relate to that, to someone in their life. And I think that too is a good poem where it evokes, you get what the poet is saying, but it evokes your own experience or memory. And reading it now, I think memories are essential, but in the context of the poem, I let that slide because I get that I interpret it in a way that sometimes we can get trapped in our memories and in just the past. And so what this poem says to me in a kind of way that Rumi, the wonderful mystic Persian poet of the 13th century, that his poems just get right to the core and about waking up and coming alive. And I think that's what Yevtushenko does in this poem, is that he's describing, you know, a person and the images that go with that bring him to the moment and wake him up again. And that is worth, it's like a Zen enlightened moment, but that moment where things are awake and the past doesn't matter anymore, even though it was still connected to the past. But it's that waking up that changes the relationship with the past. And so I think that has the flavors of it that I appreciate in other works, the Zen and the Rumi-ness to it. And that's the story, one of the stories, when Rumi met his teacher guide, inspirer Shams of Tabriz. His name actually means the sun. I think there may be more to it, but the sun. So that's, it almost makes it, did that really happen or is it symbolic? But Rumi was very much a scholar, and I think he, I don't know whether Shams did it or Rumi did it, but he's like tossed his books into the river or something like that. It was a moment of awakening and realizing he had to get beyond just the book knowledge, and he had to live and dance the dance. And so that again is what, some of why this is one of my favorite poems, like a reminder of life. You entered into me on stocking feet, exactly at the right time, as my very own. So there's again that kinship with whoever it is. It's like oneself reminding oneself, is another way to look at it, and with a smile. So yeah, thanks again to A. Malakoff for reading the Russian version. Adds a good feeling. The way when you hear a poet read his poems or her poems or their poems, and then when you read it, you can hear that echo. It's nice to hear a flavor, a bit of the Russian language, to then have that add to even the English feel and interpretation. So thank you for listening, and be well.